My doorman told me a joke, guys. The Latinos are going to head over and have their own little charge. I'm not going to preach a full sermon because you already heard one today. Let me tell you, we may have no excuse Sunday next week, but we ain't going to have no tears Sunday because we got a lot of tears, man. We need to cry, you know what I'm saying? And God really moved my heart today through just hearing where the lives were. Now here's the joke my doorman told me. You ready?
Come on, Chris. Preach your word, bro.
There was a doctor, a lawyer, and a minister. Went deer hunting. And they were all out deer hunting, and at the same time, they all shot the bullet and hit the deer.
Oh, no.
And the lawyer said, I did it. I shot the deer. It's my deer. The doctor said, no, let me examine the deer. The doctor went to examine the deer, and he came back, and he told the lawyer, sorry, buddy, the minister did it. Minister shot the deer. How do you know? He said, well, the bullet went clear in one ear and out the other.
No, never, bro.
I hope what's been shared today did not go in one ear and out the other, guys. Man, you heard Nick and Hillary. What a great job they did sharing their lives. Let me tell you something. You go out in the world and you see a couple like Nick and Hillary, you think, oh, they're good people. They got it together. You know, goody tissue couple. Look at the damage that was in their lives. Look at the damage they saw. I appreciate so much Patton and Sister Ashley and just the initiative of the teens to really sound the gun for missions contributions. Amen. And then, gosh, Tiffany and Vicky's restoration. Wow. What you see is what we began talking about last week, building a great church. The church is not the building. The church is not the minister. The church is not the sing in the choir or the bonnet on your head. The church is the people. And the people preach their lives and their testimony. And you did that today. Now, last week we ended off talking about the great sacrifice that our first century brothers and sisters gave to build the great church.
Come on.
We're going to look today very briefly at what that sacrifice produced. Amen? Acts chapter 1, verse 15. It says here, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. Wow. Guys, this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After the resurrection of Jesus, after all He preached and did and died and rose, how many were there? Just 120. Now, the whole point I'm making today is great numbers. With great sacrifice, great numbers come to the Lord. But you look at this and go, 120, that's not a great number. Well, it would be for us. We're only like 76. So 120 would be great. But you'd think after Jesus' entire earthly ministry, death and resurrection, there'd be more.
Come on.
There was only 120. However, by Acts chapter 2, look there.
Uh-oh, come on. Come on, bro.
In Acts chapter 2, we read in verse 40, with many other words, He warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now that's a great number.
Amen.
In verse 47 of chapter 2, it says here, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people, and the Lord added to their number, how often?
Daily,
those who were being saved. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 4.
Come on, bro. What happened?
In Acts 4, after being put in prison, it says here in verse 4, but many who heard the message believed, and the number of who? Men grew to about 5,000. See, men were called to this gallant charge to change the world. Acts chapter 5.
What happened, bro?
In verse 14. Nevertheless, more and more men, women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. great numbers came, guys. And here's the first mention of women being added. Of course, we know women were there in the beginning. But you see, also you see 3,000, 5,000. Now it just says more and more. There's so many coming, they're losing count. Amen. Just more and more. How many were at church on Sunday? More and more, bro. It was awesome. Chapter 6. In those days, the number of disciples was increasing. And I say those days need to be these days. Amen. Verse 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem was increasing. What? Rapidly. And a large number of who? Priests, religious leaders, were becoming what? Obedient to the faith. Well, aren't priests obedient? I guess not. Not always, guys. But these priests became obedient to the faith. You get a sense of movement here. There is a spreading rapidly. It's like fire, and it's spreading. But when you see these numbers, it's not just numbers. It's Tiffany's. It's Vicky's. It's Nick's. And Hillary's, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Those are the people becoming saved. Look in chapter 8, verse 12. And guys, this is something all of you need to know how to do. If you're a Christian, you've got to be able to go through the book of Acts and show your friends, your neighbors, and your family that wonder, why are you so committed? Why don't you just go on Sunday? Let me show you in the Bible why we do what we do.
Come on, bro.
Because this is what happened.
Yeah,
in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, I'm talking, I got to start flipping. It says here, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were what?
Baptized.
Baptized. Amen.
Baby.
And guys, what's key about this is Samaria.
Come on, bro.
Remember in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, and they did, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Here we're in Samaria. The word is spreading. Chapter 9, verse 31.
Come on, bro. Good stuff, bro.
In 9:31, then the church throughout Judea, we were just talking about that, weren't we? Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living what? In the fear of the Lord. Guys, we need to fear God. And we're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks because I don't have time to make that point today. Amen. 9:42. Look at it being recorded. This became known all over Joppa. And many people believe in the Lord. Now we're in the city Joppa. And look at it. Is it known in just a little part of Joppa? All over Joppa. It's got to be known all over Joliet.
Yeah.
All over the South Loop. All over Berwyn. All over O'Hare area. Amen?
Amen?
It was known all over Joppa because the Word of God was spreading. Acts 11.
Come on, bro.
In Acts 11 here, verse 21, it says, the Lord's hand was with them, and what? A great number of people believed and turned to the Lord.
Come on, bro.
That's what happened.
Yep.
Who was it that shared it earlier? So many have shared. When they believe, then they turned and they changed their life. Growing up religious doesn't cut it. But you got to turn and come to God. I was doing a quiet time with my 8-year-old daughter a couple days ago, and it was awesome. As we sat there, I said, honey, why do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? And here's what she said. She said, well, Dad, because I pretty much believe everything, except that blendy pens are the only pens that can change colors and blend, because I can do that with any pen there is. What's my point? Children will believe whatever someone they trust tells them. That's why God said we're supposed to train our children like Roger and Tama said earlier.
Yeah, come on.
We're supposed to teach our children from the womb about God. But what's the cry today? Well, I want my children to grow up and make their own decisions when they're old enough. By that time, the world has told them so much garbage that they just believe it because they believe everything when they're young. And then you've got to break through that garbage and those barriers.
Yeah.
We got to train our children. We've got a whole generation that don't know. Great numbers that are lost.
Yeah, come on,
because
Paul.
The parents flew it in their responsibility. We're not perfect parents, guys, but let's not be lazy and neglectful parents. Let's teach them about the Lord.
Amen. Come on,
chapter 12, verse 24.
Come on, bro.
In chapter 12, verse 24, it says, but the word of God continued to increase and spread. Again, you see the concept of a movement. Not just a little church in a little suburb, but the word spreading around the globe.
Amen.
Chapter 13, verse 49. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Look at that. And this is talking about Pisidian Antioch. Now, this is the middle of modern-day Turkey. And it spreads throughout that entire region. Chapter 14, verse 1.
Come on, bro.
At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that what? A great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. And look at this. This isn't just a lesson we came up with today. This is our history. This is what the first century church did because Jesus told them to. And they believed it. This is the purpose of the church today.
Yeah,
it's not a social club. It's not a place to come and find somebody to date. That's a fringe benefit, if you know what I'm talking about. This was the purpose of the church here. To save people. But in order to do it, they spoke so effectively.
Come on.
I want to speak to you who think you can't speak effectively.
Come on, bro.
Those of you that think you can, amen. That's awesome. Do it. I think a lot of us think, I can't speak effectively. We're like Moses. I was in my quiet times this week. God called Moses and he said, but I can't. Yeah, you can. Here's what you do. But I can't. And it came to a point where God's anger burned against him. And God said, fine, get Aaron and do it. Right?
Yeah.
Guys, you just open your mouth and God will speak through you.
Amen.
One of my favorite preachers used to say, your city is as open as your mouth is. All we got is open our mouth. And the Spirit says, I'll give you the words to say.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid.
Come on.
Chapter 14, verse 21. They preached the good news in that city and won what? A large number of disciples. Chapter 16. 16, verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. Why is this significant, guys? It's no longer, remember Jerusalem grew daily in numbers? Now the churches are growing daily in numbers. So as the church spread, all the churches that were planted were growing just as rapidly as Jerusalem had been growing.
Amen.
That's because they were opening their mouths.
Yeah.
Amen. Chapter 19. This is one of my favorite. A lot of people use this to talk about campus ministry.
Amen.
Chapter 19, verse 8.
Lance out, bro.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Can I say something to you real quick? Joe Chepetta grabbed me and with great indignation admonished me on the way up to the pulpit today. And I said, Joe, are you okay? But he's our webmaster. He does a great job. He said, every Sunday I have to edit the beginning of the sermons because there's so much screaming. Now, we've talked about this before. I'm not going to stop the youth from screaming. I'd rather our youth scream about the Lord and His Word than scream about any other garbage that's out there. However, let's make sure we're screaming for the Lord and not to sound cool. Amen, because Joe said this, the people on these recordings sound more like crazy people. Amen. So if they call us crazy because of our love for God, amen. But let's not just scream to scream. Amen. Let's connect our brains as well. Amen. Acts 19, verse 8. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke wimpily there. No. And we're not going to either. Amen, guys? He's boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Guys, every Christian I'm speaking to, you've got to be able to argue persuasively. Not to be right, but to teach what's right. But for so many people that call themselves Christians, when's the last time you argued persuasively about anything but going to the movie you want to go to? Really? We got to argue persuasively about the kingdom of God. In love, it's arguing to win souls, not to win the argument. But some of them became obstinate. Okay, people will become obstinate when you teach them. And refuse to believe and publicly malign the way. Guys, we're going to get publicly maligned when we're out there trying to persuade people to seek the kingdom of God. Again, keep your mouth closed. No one's going to publicly malign you because you're just a nice old good old boy and gal that go to church. And that wasn't Jesus. Jesus called people to give God everything and they were publicly maligned for it. So, what'd Paul do? Paul left. He took the disciples with them. And they had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years. So that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Guys, what am I trying to say? This area that they evangelized in 2 years was much bigger. This is like modern day Turkey. Much bigger than the current Chicagoland area.
Wow.
A much bigger territory. And it was evangelized in 2 years.
Wow.
Why? Because they were teaching every day. Every day. Remember that Monday. And Tuesday. And Wednesday when you're tempted to take a spiritual day off. And Thursday. We preach every day, guys. We'll get this job done.
Come
amen?
On. Come on, bro.
28, verse 22. They publicly malign the way. In chapter 28, verse 22, Paul's in prison. And the people he's talking to, even in prison, say this. 28, verse 22. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect. Current word today for sect, cult. People everywhere were talking against Paul's church, which they called a cult.
Talk about it.
Sect in that day. That's a scare word. We've been called a cult today.
Yep.
Why? Because we don't just offer, hey, here's a nice church to go to where we have social gatherings, teen events, great singing, and it's awesome. No. We believe that unless you obey God with all your heart, you're going to go to hell.
That's right. Come on, Chris.
And you can't be a part of this church unless you want to love God with all your heart.
Lay it out,
weak? Yes, we're weak. Perfect? No, we're not. If you want to be a part of a perfect church, go somewhere else because your sin messed us up. Amen? We're not perfect anymore. No, our sin already messed us up. You with me?
Yeah.
But I'm talking about faithful to God. That's what I'm talking about.
Come on.
If we're living, everyone that wants to live a godly life
will be persecuted.
Again, if you just be a good person, you won't be persecuted. But if you be like Jesus, you're going to get persecuted. People everywhere spoke against them. Guess what that means? People everywhere had heard about him. You can't speak against something you hadn't heard about. Amen? Now, Paul's in prison. Look in Colossians. We're going to close there. In Colossians, Paul's in prison, and he writes the letter. This is about A.D. 60, guys. So it's about 30 years after the ascension of Christ. That's just 30 years, guys. That's just a lifetime. One generation. And look what the Bible says in the middle of verse 6. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Colossians 1:6, a little ways in. All over the world, it was growing and bearing fruit. Isn't that awesome? See, we're fired up to see it bearing fruit here. as it did today.
Come on, bro.
But we want it to do that all over the world.
Amen.
Look at verse 21. It says here, and again, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, He's reconciled you to Christ, physical body, through death, to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Is it awesome to be free from accusation? If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. We heard from two people today who were stopped from continuing.
Come on, bro.
And guys, many of us have been.
Yeah.
We got to know, Satan wants to stop you and stop you again.
Yeah.
And if he can get you to stop again, then it's even more embarrassing to come back again.
Yeah.
Guys, this life or death. Life or death. Read on, this is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven.
Amen, sir.
And of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Amen.
Wow! 30 years after the Great Commission, every creature under heaven had heard. Only one question asked, brothers and sisters. Can we do it again?
Come on, bro.
Do you believe that what Jesus has asked us to do can be done?
Yeah, amen.
My wife and I listened to a sermon of a man who preached a few years ago. A sermon right after a very tumultuous time in our fellowship. And he said something that revealed his heart and I believe all of us need to guard ours against. He said, back in the early days of Boston, so many great numbers were coming to Jesus. So many people were being baptized that I believed we could evangelize the world, not because I saw it as a mandate from Scripture, but because I looked at it and mathematically could figure it out in my head, and we had time to do it if we continued to do what we were doing.
Come on.
His statement was, at that time, I believed it could be done.
Wow.
He doesn't anymore.
Wow.
We can't believe we can evangelize the world by sight.
Come on, bro.
We've got to believe it because Jesus said to do it.
Amen.
And Jesus isn't going to ask us to do something that can't be done. But there are so many more millions of people. But most of them have the internet in their home or in an internet cafe. I spoke to a guy in Ghana in an internet cafe just the past week. I've been told that 6,000 to 8,000 sermons are downloaded off our website every month. Do you believe it can be done? See, I believe it can be done, guys. And I believe it because Jesus said it. We asked you a question last week. If everyone was like me, what kind of church would this be?
Come on, bro.
I want to hold up a brother to you. Lee Pullen.
Come on,
you like Lee, right? Lee and Noni are going to start leading our preteens as soon as we get our children's ministry in order there. Come on, preteens. Lee was one of the first people I asked to move to Chicago to plant this church. When I asked him, he hadn't even asked Noni to marry him yet. He was about to. He said, bro, I want to talk to you about something I want to ask Noni. I said, amen, bro. First, I want to ask you something. Amen? I said, we're going to plant a church in Chicago because we want to spread the word. You want to go? Before he left that car, he said, I am going. He didn't go think about it. He said, I'm going. I said, well, you're going to ask Tony to marry you. What are you going to do there? He said, bro, this is what God wants me to do. Then he went and he told Noni, he asked her to marry him. But then he said, Noni, we get married, and anybody ever ask us to move anywhere for the kingdom? and I'm not there when they ask, you tell them, we'll move. And if they say, but don't you need to go talk to your husband? Say, no, we'll move. Because that is Lee's heart. Now, we've all got strengths and weaknesses, but I'd say in that area, if everyone was like Lee, what kind of church would this be? I'd say it's a church that can evangelize the world. And in the end, what we really need to ask ourselves is, if everyone were like Jesus, what kind of church would this be? Wow. Let's be like Jesus. Let's fill this joint up next week for No Excuse Sunday. God bless you.